out in the message, but I'll just touch on it right now, being it's time for me to start preaching anyway. So, but God's doing things in this world we don't imagine at times. For example, you've sent us to Brazil. Okay, we're in Brazil. We start a local church and so on. And God uses the work of the church to call other people into the ministry. All right, so we've had several people. You probably saw if you caught it. We have four or five people that are in the missions right now that were in our church that have gone into missions. We have a missionary in Venezuela, another missionary who's going to Venezuela. And Venezuela is an interesting country. American missionaries can't get into Venezuela anymore. And so as far as the United States sending missionaries to Venezuela, they can't get in anymore. Businessmen can get in if you're a business, perhaps, but missionaries are not allowed to come into the country from the United States anymore and start ministries in Venezuela. But you know, that didn't stop God. God sent them from Brazil. And in our church, we have two missionaries, one there and one that's raising support now to go to Venezuela. And our missionary in Venezuela is, I guess you would say, spiritual grandchildren. They are in Venezuela, starting a church. He's running over 200 people, has all the freedom in the world to preach the gospel, do what he wants, limitations because of the economy and so forth, problems they face. But it's interesting, he's already had someone called from his work and ministry that's going to Bolivia. So you have great-grandchildren in the ministry starting, you know, churches in different places. You know, the United States over the years has sent thousands of missionaries into the world. But today there's places that are being closed to Americans, but God opens the door for Brazilians can go in Venezuela, you know, freely. And the gospel is open. They can preach and so forth. We have another man that we've met, a pastor. He's not from Brazil. He's a Venezuelan. But I'm not sure whether it was the president or whether it's one of the up leaders in the military in Venezuela, gave him property on the military barracks in Venezuela to build an independent Baptist church. Now, that's amazing. That's amazing. Americans can't do it. But they can do it, and Brazilians can do it, and the Lord's using them. And all because you sent us to Brazil. That was the beginning. And, you know, God's not limited. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see the overall plan of what God has done. And through your church and your support and faithfulness and serving the Lord in missions. Now, that's only us. Your mission board's got quite a few missionaries. And, you know, we won't know the results of it all until we get to heaven. And you'll be glad and praising the Lord, and the Lord will be glorified for what was accomplished in sending the gospel into the world. And from there, I want us to open the Word of God in 1 Kings chapter 8. I want to read a couple verses here. 1 Kings chapter 8. I want you to think with me about missions, but God's purpose in this world. We need to keep our focus on what God is doing and God's purpose in this world. And it started clear back with Adam and Eve. But through the Bible, we find some phrases here, and I'm just going to pull out a couple in the Old Testament. But we find God's purpose in the world. What does God want to do, accomplish in this world? And so we find in 1 Kings chapter 8, this is Solomon, Dave's son, becoming king. He is king. And here, in the beginning of his ministry, chapter 8, he's the first part of the chapter, he's praying to God. And in verse 43, he's praying to God, "Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth for thee, for that all people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. Notice here that all people of the earth may know thy name. God's purpose in that time was to use Israel to make his name known to the world, to the world. And if you look in verse 60, Solomon's not praying here. He's talking to his people, the people of Israel. And in verse 60, he says that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. The purpose God wanted for Israel is to let the world know who he is, who he is. Now, it's interesting. I want to go back. In verse 58, verse 59, we find what Solomon told his people. And God says this to us today. God says the same thing to us. We find here, and he says in verse 58, that he may incline our hearts unto him. We need to apply these things in our lives today. We find this is what God wants in the church too, that we would incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let all these words wherein I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the manner shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. This was Israel. God's plan in this world was to use Israel to let the world know about him. Today, God has called the local church to let the world know about him. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll continue with a few thoughts. Dear Lord, we ask that you would bless us this morning. Let the word of God be real in our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Show us what you have for us. And may you be exalted and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue thinking, God's purpose in this world is he's calling out a people for himself. He's calling out a people. God created man because he wanted man to be with him for eternity. God's calling out people. He's calling people. He wants people to be saved. We know the story, Adam and Eve. Sinned in the garden, disobeyed God, brought sin upon the world, and the world is born in sin, and we're all sinners. All have come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and because of this, God sent Jesus Christ into this world to save sinners, to save this world. But it's interesting that God has given man, a will of his own to choose what he wants. And God has given man the opportunity to hear the truth and to accept the way of salvation that God has made for man in order for man to be cleansed of his sin and to go to heaven. Now, God's purpose started with Israel, but today he carries it out through the local church. He's calling out a people for his name. Turn with me in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Just before Hebrews, Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice verse 14. You have to forgive me if Portuguese comes out once in a while. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people zealous of good works. God's purpose in time is to pull out, is to save people in this world for himself. God created man in his image and in his likeness because God wanted man to spend eternity with him. But sin destroyed it all. But God sent a Savior into this world. And that's missions. Missions is us sharing the gospel of Christ with the world and letting the world know the truth. There is a God in heaven. He is real. And he did create the world. We are not, we didn't come from animals. We didn't come from monkeys. And I remember, this is kind of funny, years ago when I was in junior high school in California, I had a friend, his name was Gary. And I'll never forget it. Gary said to me, he said, you know, I was trying to witness to him one day, just talk to him about the Lord or something. He said, you know, when I was born, I was born with a tail and the doctors cut it off because, you know, his ancestors were monkeys. And I said, well, you're the only one I ever heard of that happened. God didn't bring me from monkeys. He created me in his likeness and his image and his likeness. And you know, that's what the Word of God says. God created man for himself. And the only way that man can get to God is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. It's the gospel message. And you know it, that's not new. Allegheny Baptist Church has been preaching the gospel for many years. And sending missionaries in the world to spread this gospel to the world. This is God's plan. Started with Israel and now with the church. And God wants the world to know he sent Jesus into this world. God's not finished with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is God's plan for this world. God loves this world. God loves the people in this world. And he sent his Son to prove his love and also to pay for our sin so this world could be saved. But you know what's happening today? It's fearful. But the local church is getting away from evangelism. It's getting away from telling others about Jesus Christ. It's getting away from what the purpose that God wants in this world, and that is to use the church to spread the gospel into the world. Not just into the world, but also in our own Jerusalem, our own Jerusalem. Many churches today will send out missionaries, but they're not telling others in their own city about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sad. The devil wants to destroy the local church. The devil wants to take the power away from the local church. He wants to destroy the plan that God has for this world. The devil is alive and he is working. And if he can, he will stop the local church from doing what God wants done. But I'd like to say this morning, God's not finished. Christ hasn't come back yet. He hasn't taken his church home. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. And I want to thank the Lord for the Allegheny Baptist Church and your faithfulness for us over the years. And because of this, you have great-grandchildren, I guess, in this world because of your faithfulness over the years. That's only through what the Lord has allowed us to do. But imagine other missionaries and what's going on in the world that we don't know. God's working out there. He is working out there. In Matthew chapter 16, which we all know well, but I'd like to read it again, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus Christ established his church in this world. And we find here in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'd like to leave a word with you about the fact that Jesus Christ established his church. He's the one that began the church. He's the one that trained the first apostles to go into the world to preach the gospel, to send the gospel into the world at that time. And even today, church is starting for the purpose of spreading the gospel into this world. I want to say this. We need, I mentioned in Sunday school, and I'll just mention it this morning too. The purpose of the local church, number one, is to evangelize the world. Is to evangelize the world. And we have to remember, this is our purpose. Is to evangelize the world. Let the world know. Jesus commanded, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our responsibility. That's what God wants. Why? Because God wants to call out a people. He wants to save people for himself, for eternity. When I think of the church, you know, Israel is considered really the bride of God. And we find that the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. And God has, the purpose that God has for the church and for people that are saved today is that we might be the bride of Christ for eternity. The Bible says that we are, what do we call it? I have to think in English. Herederos. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Okay, so what do we find? You know, our future is unbelievable. Jesus Christ is an heir of God. He will receive, and he has received, all power, he said, was given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's got part of it, but he's got all eternity. He's everything that the Father has belongs to the Son. And you know, the Bible gives us the illustration, the idea that we are married. We will be married with Jesus Christ, and we will receive everything that Jesus Christ receives because we're married to him for eternity. Oh, yeah, our future is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. God created us for a purpose. And what he wants in this world is that people realize God loves us so much he sent his Son. And he wants to save people in this world. And the only way he does it is for the local church, God's people, to spread this message into the world that the world might know that Jesus came to save people. That's missions. I want to mention something that about the local church that I feel is so important. I want to finish with this idea. The local church today is the greatest institution on the face of the earth. It's the greatest institution on the face of the earth. It's not Boeing aircraft, you know. It's not the internet and all that's going on. When Jesus Christ came into this world and said, I will build my church, he didn't say, I will build Microsoft so my people can get rich. He could have done that. I will build Boeing aircraft so that my people will get rich. He didn't do that. Yeah. He said, I will build my church. You know why? Because the church is the most important institution on the face of the earth. But today, many people look at the local church as, oh, well, you know, it's for Sunday. Yeah, I'll go there on Sunday morning or Sunday night or once a week or something like that. And we sit in the pews and we don't get involved. We're here to worship, yes, great. That's a third purpose that God has, is that we're to exalt and glorify our God. We're to worship him, yes, but it's more than that. He wants us, the local church, to realize we are to spread the gospel into this world. The fruits of the local church and what God has given us to do in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fruits are eternal. No other company, no other business in this world has eternal fruit, has wages that are eternal. the local church, we have, God has given us the power to preach the word, that has to share the word, to witness. We shall be witnesses, Acts 1:8 is saying. God's given us the power of the Holy Spirit that we might be witnesses. Witnesses, why? Because the fruit is eternal. It's eternal. When people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they receive eternal life. We will be with the Lord for eternity. I trust that you have eternal life today. Are you saved? Do you know for sure? What proof do you have of your salvation? Talk to a man in Brazil. His name is Ricardo. I got to share this with you quick, and just to give you an idea what God is doing. This man was a man that I went to see one of his properties, to buy one of his properties, and we didn't buy it. And then he asked me a question. Everybody was gone. I was there alone with him on his property, and he said, he said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. He said, you know, I've been reading the Bible. That was interesting. And he said, but you know, I heard, and I don't know if it's true, but maybe you can tell me if it's true or not. Is there coming a day when God will take death away from man and he'll want to die but can't die? I said, yes. That's true. It's in Revelation. And he said, wow. And he began to tell me things that how he hates this world. He hates the corruption, the sin, the violence, and everything that's going on in Brazil, you know. And really, he wants to leave Brazil and come to the United States because the United States is perfect. You know, this is the heaven on earth. And that's, you know, he wants to come here. But he was mentioning these things to me. And I said, you know what you need to read? You need to read Romans chapter 1 and 2. And this is on a Saturday, and I couldn't spend much time with him, so I left him and went home. And on Sunday, he sends me a message on my phone. And he said, Pastor Gary, I'm reading Romans 1 and 2. I said, okay. I send him where in Roman in Revelation where it talks about God will take death out of this world during the tribulation, and man will be tortured, but he can't even commit suicide. There's no death. And I showed him the verse in the Word of God. I sent it to him. On Monday morning, he sends me another message, and he says, Pastor Gary, I don't want to be here on that day. I wrote him back, and I said, well, you know, you need to know what the Word says about being saved. Do you know? And I said, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And he wrote me back and he said, no, I don't know, but I'd like to know. And I said, when can we talk? Can I come? Can we talk? He said, yeah. So Monday night, 7 o'clock, I was at his, I went to his office. We sat down. I was there for 4 hours. 4 hours. Sharing the gospel of Christ with him. Telling him how he can win the victory over this corrupt world and everything. And you know, he did something that I've never seen anybody do before. I explained, we went through Romans, and in Romans chapter 10, I was sharing with him Romans chapter 10, how a man can trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, in Romans 10 and verses 8, 9, and verse 13, and so forth. We know these verses. But he did something I couldn't believe. I asked him, I said, hey, Carter, would you like to accept the Lord as your Savior? He said, yes, I would, but not now. And I said, you know, when the Lord is speaking to your heart, that's when you need to trust Christ. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. And he said, well, I don't know how. And I said, well, I just explained it to you. I said, in Romans chapter 10, it's right here. Just do what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 10, you know what he did? And I've never seen anybody else do this. He put his hand on the Word of God, and he began to pray. He read the Word, and he said, Lord, thy Word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm confessing to you the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he read, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Lord, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. And he went on, thou shalt be saved. Lord, I want to be saved. And he said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, I believe you're the one that makes me righteous. And he says, and with my mouth I'm confessing to you. I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord, on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling upon your name. I want to be saved. God saved that man. That moment. That's how he prayed to trust Christ as his Savior. He took his hand and read, and went down and read and prayed what the scripture says. I've never seen anybody do that. And after he was done, he goes, wow. He said, you know something? God saved me. I'm saved. And he said, Pastor, he said, you know, I'm a terrible sinner. He said, nobody knows this. A few people know it. But he said, I'm on drugs. I've been on drugs for years and years and years. My parents gave me drugs when I was young so that I would have more strength and more vigor and could do more. My parents gave me drugs. And I've been on drugs all these years. And he said, it's so easy. All I have to do is get on my telephone and they'll bring it to my door. Drugs. He lives on drugs. He said, you know something? I want to get off of them. I gave him a few tips. The next day, after I left, he got a hold of me and he said, Pastor, you know what? I cut down to about 30% of what I was taking. I slept for 10 hours. He said he couldn't believe it. And he reads, he's reading his Bible, and he's growing in the Lord. I've had Bible studies with him now every other Monday night. I go to his home, we sat down, and I spend anywhere from 2 to 4 hours in the Word of God, teaching him the Word of God. And he's come to our church. Let me just say this. You know, God's purpose for the local church is to send the gospel to those who are lost. And we may not even know who's interested, who's listening, or whatever, but our purpose is to send this gospel to the world. When the local church loses that vision, when the local church doesn't send the gospel out, we're not doing what God has created the church to do. The purpose of the local church is to spread the gospel. You know, the local church, this is the greatest thing the local church can do, because the fruit is eternal. It is eternal. That man said to me a couple weeks later, he said, Pastor, you know something? 3 weeks ago, I would have said, and I thought, my wife is saved. She's going to heaven. She's religious. And I was lost. He just felt like he was lost. But he said, you know something? Today, I'm the one who's saved and my wife isn't. And he became concerned about his wife and his daughter and his son. So if you think about it, pray for him. But let me just say this. It's the local church that makes a difference today. This world and the devil wants to stop what God is doing. But I want to say, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We do not know everything God is doing out there in a foreign field. But God is at work. And until Jesus Christ comes back, our responsibility is to keep on keeping on. Stay in the Word. Do what the Lord wants the church to do. And God will bless you abundantly. And when we get to heaven, it's not Gary and Pam who receive all the rewards. No, we're only servants. God knows who's supporting them, who's behind them, Who's praying for him? Who's praying for souls to be saved? God knows who's really involved. And when we get to heaven, God will show how he was glorified and what he accomplished in this world through the Allegheny Baptist Church. You've supported us for over 40 years, and we're not ready to quit. And I'll finish with this thought. It's time for me to quit. Someone said, you know, you're getting old, and, you know, when you get old, you get weak, and you can't, you know, you can't do what you used to do. You might as well retire and come on home. Well, let me tell you this. I heard another missionary say, the older you get, the more wisdom you have. And the Lord gives you spiritual wisdom. And in your physical weakness, you are stronger in the Lord than you've ever been. And what we need, men who are up in years, we might think they're not worth much anymore, but I'm telling you, God's given a lot of men that are up in years wisdom and spiritual understanding. And they can, like us in Brazil, we're not finished. We might not have the physical strength that we've had in the past, but we have wisdom. We can teach, we can train, we can tell others how to do it. We don't have to learn the language again. We already know the language, we know the customs, we know the people. Why should we quit? We're a tremendous influence, really. And we're not planning on quitting yet. It's not our time. And I don't know, we might, hopefully we'll be able to carry on for another 5 or 10 years. I don't know what the Lord has planned, but we're not quitting. And I'm just saying, God's using you. Keep on. Keep on. Be faithful. Be steadfast. Get in the Word. Don't let the devil take you away from the Word of God. Yeah, it's important. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Allegheny Baptist Church. We thank you for what you're accomplishing through the ministry here and what you're doing, Lord, in foreign fields. And may you bless here at home too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.